Hello, this is James Medig speaking, and you're joining me back in a broadcast, and we're talking about joint ventures and how you can use joint ventures to build your list and your pocketbook. What we're going to cover in this particular section, I left you with a little bit of homework, and what that homework was about was something called your assets and leverage. So what I'm going to do in this particular section is we're going to go over, I asked you to write down what you thought you had as assets and how you think you could leverage them or combine them. So what kind of combination could you use of assets and leverage to provide value to yourself and another party? So what were some of the things that you had as assets? I've got three different classes or groupings of assets, so we'll talk about them quickly and then give some examples of how they might be used or what might be available. The three kinds of assets that you can have in your business, and it doesn't matter if your business is you as a single person or it's a large company, there's always three kinds of assets. The first one is the physical assets. The second one is obviously the non-physical assets. The fourth one is something called IP, or your intellectual property. Now that's a pretty big word. What it means is, what are you an expert at? What knowledge do you have that you can bring to the table in any kind of joint venture? So what are some examples of physical assets as it relates to your business, and let's say your online business? Well, think about it. Physical assets can be stuff like the list, existing customers, newsletter, existing traffic. It can be things like a website, so the physical website. It can be stuff like any form of technology. Now, what I mean by that, if someone has a particular piece of software that allows them to do something, that's an asset. So let's say, for example, you have a piece of software or a database software or a piece of software that allows to do a certain kind of website, or you have a piece of software that generates e-books, or you have a piece of software that generates e-book covers or graphic images. Those are physical assets. And I'll give you another couple of examples of technology and ones that I use. And this is just to give you an example. One of the things that I have is something called a radio station. I have an internet radio station, and that's something that I have as an asset, and that's the one that I use almost exclusively. Because I have that radio station, and we're going to get into why I use the radio station, but I use that station and I approach other people to be interviewed online. So that's something that I have that no one else has. There's actually two or three other people that have do audio interviews online that I've met and talked to, but no one has an actual radio station that's playing all of the time. So that's a piece of technology. That's something that I have, and in fact, it's unique to me. It's unique to me. So that's a physical asset that I have in my particular business. Now, what are some non-physical assets? And this is important because I'm going to rate them after so that you can consider which one's more important. What's a non-physical asset? Well, non-physical assets are something called, the big one is a relationship. Another one might be a brand. And I'll explain what a brand is in a moment. The other thing might be goodwill. Now, relationships, brand, goodwill, those aren't something that you can actually touch. They're not physical, but in fact, they're tangible. It's something that you can measure. So what's an example of a brand? Well, Coke has a brand, Federal Express has a brand, American Airlines has a brand. See, brand tends to happen in larger companies, but it can happen when people start to brand themselves as individuals. I have a gentleman that I've done a joint venture with in the past. His name is Edward Thorpe. His brand is the laziest dude on the internet. He brands himself. Now, if you talk about another person that actually wrote the foreword for my book, Joe Vitale, Mr. Fire, and he's branded himself as hypnotic marketing. So he has a brand, and people expect a certain kind of material or information from him. So there's companies that brand themselves, there's people that brand themselves, but it's a specific niche or area that they want to work on. For example, Alex Mendozian is specifically copywriting. Same thing with Dr. Michael Fortan, the success doctor, is his brand, but he specializes in copywriting. There's a gentleman in Montreal who writes for ClickSee, Nick Usborne, and again, copywriting. So everyone brands themselves in a particular area, and that's a non-physical asset, is your brand, because the more you become known, the more value gets placed in the marketplace. Now, goodwill is another one. Goodwill is another one. Goodwill is something that there's an expectation on the part of the customers that there's something called trust, and I want you to pay attention to this one because trust is going to become very important shortly. Trust is the kind of stuff that you absolutely, positively have to have when you're selling online, because trust is the reason that people buy from you. It's your ability to get them to know and like you that opens them up to being influenced and persuaded by either your messages on your website or, in fact, when you talk to them in person. So trust is valuable. Trust is the key that opens the door to a relationship. And see, one of the things is that if you have or have earned trust, either through relationships that you have, your brand, or the goodwill that you've built in a marketplace, that is a huge asset. I know, for example, that there are some companies, just because they offer something, a product or a service, or they recommend it, people will buy it because there's an implicit trust already built up. So I'll give you an example of why this is important and why relationships are important. One of the things that happens is that you end up networking. And actually, I'm going to put the word network in with relationship because, in fact, what I've found is that birds of a feather flock together. And in fact, once you get into any kind of relationship with an individual or a company, you're actually be able to leverage that relationship within the network of other companies and peoples that are in that circle. And you'll assume all of the goodwill, the brand, and the trust that's in that relationship or that network of relationships if you remain a professional about what it is that you're doing. So I'll give you an example of what happened for me. I did the Small Business Heroes station and the internet radio station, and what I did is I interviewed all of the top internet marketers. Now the interesting thing is that once I got one, and the first person that I had a really good interview with was Alex Mendozian. Now, Alex Mendozian and I talked for an hour and 40 minutes. We had a great conversation, an excellent interview. But immediately what happened is Alex Mendozian told me to call, and he gave me the names of four or five great other contacts. So I had these four, it's actually five people that I spoke to as a direct result of being able to speak to one person, which was Alex Mendozian. So it was Yannick Silver, Armand Morin were two of the people right away. And what happened from there, Robert Middleton was another one. As soon as I said that, yes, Alex Mendozian asked me to speak to you, all of a sudden the floodgates opened up. So there's usually one or two people within a network that are key influencers, and that allows you to leverage the network and the relationships that are already there. So non-physical is an asset. Now, you have to write down and think about in your network, do you have relationships that you can leverage? And see, the relationships don't just have to be about people. The relationships can also be about technology. Now, I'll give you an example. Here's one, something that happens to me specifically is, because I do a lot of webcasting, and a lot of my product is online in the terms of webcast video, webcast broadcast like you're watching, webcast audio, people approach me and find out, how are you doing that? One of the assets that I have is I have a business relationship with a webcasting company that allows me to have that relationship as something that people are now approaching me to leverage into that particular company. So I know the people at that company, but it's the technology that I'm using with them that I can use that relationship or that network with. So that's non-physical. And people don't even start, they don't even bother to look or to research. If they trust you, they'll do exactly what you tell them that they should do because it saves them a lot of work and a lot of time. So that's the second one. The first one is physical. Second was non-physical. And then here's the third one. And this is really what you, let me just clean this off so we have some room. The third one has something intellectual property or expertise. And I kind of mentioned it a little bit. There's got to be something that you know that someone else doesn't know. You have to know something or someone or have some kind of expert knowledge of something that someone else doesn't know. And I'll give you an example, the one that I do. It's how to do internet radio. It's how to do broadcasts. There's not many people that know how to do this. I learned how to do something called Smile. Smile is a synchronized multimedia integration language, and what that does is it allows me to build the interface that you're actually looking in, where we have a graphic with hot links in RealPlayer, and I can put these clips in and out of the RealPlayer. That's Smile. No one else knows how to do that that's doing stuff online that I'm aware of, or there's not many people that are doing it or doing it well. So that's something that I know. For example, I'm an expert in selling. I've spent 20 years studying selling, and the last 6 years studying internet marketing and testing it. So I have a huge wealth of information in a particular area. Now, I know about selling and internet marketing. Don't ask me about accounting. I have no idea how it works. Don't ask me how to build software. Don't know how it works. So there's something that you have that's intellectual property, that's value, that you can bring to the table. So take a look at your list and think about them. Physical, non-physical, or knowledge, intellectual property. What are you an expert at? And I want you to think about this. Physical, non-physical, intellectual property. Which one do you think is more important or has more value? Which one do you think is the one that adds more value in a joint venture? And this is kind of a trick question. And I'll tell you what my belief is on it. Make sure we got the board cleaned off. But I physically believe that the first one that's most important is the non-physical. It's what are the relationships that you have. Those take the longest to form and they have the most value. The second one is what you know. The first one is who you know. The second one is what you know. The third one is what you've already done. So which one's more important? Your relationships, by far, most important one. Second one is if you have an area of expertise. The third one is if you have something physical, something tangible, something like a piece of software or a client list. See, the relationships, the reason is, how hard is it to replace? Well, it's awfully hard to replace relationships because that takes time and trust that's built up there. It takes a long time to relearn something or learn it yourself. It's pretty easy to find someone else with another contact list, with another piece of software, with another piece of technology, and if it isn't there, it's going to happen pretty quickly. So in terms of value that you bring into any kind of joint venture, you have to figure out what it is that you have as an asset. So go back to your list, and I want you to write down, beside what you think you have as an asset, which ones are physical, which ones are non-physical, and then which ones are your expert status in. Okay? And before we get into leverage, I'm going to wipe this off. We've got assets. I want to talk about assets for one section again. We're going to come back to this in a little more detail, but I want to cover it right now. Because, in fact, one of the things you're going to have to consider in your assets is how unique they are. Now in sales we call this a USP, which is a unique selling proposition. Or sometimes I use the word a BFC. And we'll use BFC because it's a big fat claim. Now, why is this important? I'm going to suggest that of the assets that you have, of the value that you have either in your person or your company, one of the things is that there's going to be one that has the highest value. And that's the one that you can stake your big fat claim on or your USP. That's the one that has the highest value asset. The highest value asset. So let me give you an example of that. What's an example of the highest value asset? Okay. Now here's one. I have an online friend. His name is Joel Christopher. Joel Christopher, what his is the master list builder. He went from 10,000 to 90,000 people in his list. He's hung his hat on his ability to build a contact list very, very quickly. So he hangs his hat on the master list builder. So it's a little bit about a brand, but in fact, what he's saying is that he has a couple assets there. First of all, he has a large list, which is a physical one. Second one is that he's built up a huge amount of trust and goodwill with the relationships that he has with his 90,000 people, and in fact, he has some expertise when it comes to list building. So he's got his asset, his key asset. What's unique about him is the master list builder. He builds huge honking lists. Okay? That's his highest asset. Now the one that I use, or the one that I leverage, and I mentioned it before, is my internet radio station. Now, is this unique? Yeah. Very unique. I don't know anyone else that has a live streaming radio station that does internet marketing and online selling interviews. Okay? very, very unique. In terms of the technology that's there or the ability to influence, I have goodwill. Okay. I've built up trust with my listeners. There's a whole bunch of technology in behind it. And I have a network of resources in behind those. That's unique to me. That's unique to me. So you've got to figure out what is it that you have that's unique. And it's if you can package it so that it includes physical, non-physical, and your expertise, higher value. Higher value. And why do we need higher value? Well, let's look at this last little piece here. And this one's kind of interesting. What I want to talk about here, I'm going to change the pen because my marker's getting a little bit low. We'll go to the red here. And this one is really about the term leverage. And what's leverage about? Well, leverage, I want to talk about leverage for a little bit. You know, if you've ever heard of Archimedes, Archimedes was a Greek mathematician, I believe. And what he did is he understood about something called a lever. So let's think about this for a second. If I've got a lever right here, and what I've got to do is I've got to put market value here. Got market value here. What I need to do is by using a joint venture or combining some kind of value, what I want to be able to do is, let's do one here. If you remember correctly, we had the lever, but we've got the axis here. This particular axis is what we're tipping the scale on. This is what controls how much effort is required to create that market value. See, for us to push down here, if the axis is over here, how much effort do we have to put in? Not that much. On the other hand, if we have the axis here, where we're having to put a ton of effort to get the same amount of market value in. So it's your ability to create a combination, that in fact what it does we have low market value there, we have huge market value there. If we put a little bit of effort at the top, we're going to be able to change or to get huge increases in the amount of market value that we create. And that's really about leverage and effort. Leverage and effort. So the bigger and better the combination of assets, the more leverage that we have and the more money that we have. The more money that we have or the bigger list that we're able to create. So let's take a look at leverage again. Oh, we've just lost part of the board here, so what I'm going to do is I'll just quickly pop that back on. I apologize for the noise. This takes a second. This is the little Mimio device that I was talking about earlier that actually allows me to do the board cast, and it's got suction cups on the device, and in fact, sometimes what happens is it falls off. So we've cleaned the board up a little bit here. Sorry about that. We've got this leverage point, and I think what we want to do is make sure that the combination that we create, let me put our lever up here again. It's this movement. This is the amount of leverage that we have. And what you have to do is you have to apply or combine your assets in this point. Now, if you use low-value assets, or you use high-value assets. Okay? More leverage, high-value assets, the difference being the amount of effort that we have to put in. And what we want to be able to do is put a small amount of effort in to get big results. Now, I'm going to go into some detail on what kind of results, and there's obviously a purpose for your joint venture, but I want you to understand the two that I focus on are traffic, which gets you money, or the size of your list, the size of your contacts. Okay, the size of your contact list. So those are the two areas. So what I want to do is we want to put a small effort in and really get big increases in the traffic or the size of your email list that you have. So what are some examples of a low-value asset and a high-value asset? Well, let's take a look at this, for example. Here's a traditional joint venture that is kind of low value. It's still pretty effective, but it's kind of low value. Here's one that most people use, and this is where they stick with it. Okay. We've got party A, got party B. Party A has a large list. They're a list owner. Party B is a product owner. So we've got two parties. What we do is the product owner, it's a brand new product that thinks that it might be valuable to that list owner because they share a market or they have something that's complementary. B approaches A and says, look, what I'd like to do is offer this at a special discount or a special rate or give you part revenue share for your customers if you promote my brand new product. Or the list owner goes, you know what? I'm a specialist in list building, but I don't know anything about search engines. So what I do is I find someone who has the best information about search engines. I make a deal with them so that I can present that search engine information to my existing customers so that they can have something or they get value, additional value from me. Now, in terms of the assets that they're using, look what they've used. Are these assets physical, non-physical, or IP? What's the list owner using? That's right, the list owner is using the physical asset. The second one is, when we look at the product owner, what are they using? Physical, non-physical, or IP. Most of it is physical. They're using a physical product. So if you do a combination or you say to that, let's just send an email out to see if someone will buy something, that's a low value. A low value. Okay, so that's a form of a joint venture. It's just a low value where people are taking physical combinations. Now you're probably going, well, there's other stuff in there, isn't there? Well, there might be. If they just send a joint mailing out to someone, that's a pretty low value one. Now, on the other hand, let's say, for example, that it's the same two parties again, but the list owner and the product owner decide to do a series of emails, a teleclass, a live webcast, and they do that over a period of 1 month, where they support each other during that particular month. They do telecalls, they promote the telecalls, they perhaps write a report or a two-page report, or they tape conversations on the telephone, and they send out this information over a period of time. Is that a higher value? Yeah, sure it is, because what happens is they start to use the relationships that they have with their own clients and customers. They start showing their expertise, and they introduce to each other the network of people that they know, and they expose their brand. So if it's a one-off mail out to a customer list, that's pretty low value. If someone says, look, why don't we do a package or a solution around my particular product, which happens to be, let's say, search engines, and this person's got their list, then there's some value created. Then there's some big value created. Because one-off kind of joint ventures, it ends up, it's physical. It's, I've got a product, you've got a list, let's combine them, see if we can earn some money. But if you really want to create a joint venture, you have a series of efforts or combinations of all of those things. The physical, the non-physical, the intellectual property, your expertise, your network, your influence, your brand. You combine those over a period of time, you're going to get a lot more leverage. And what you want to do, I think, is if you need cash quickly, you look at the low-value ones. If you want to build a long-term business, you look at the high-value ones. Okay? So we're going to stop this section right now. I'm back shortly. But what I want you to think about is, what assets do you have? Physical, non-physical, intellectual property, or expertise assets. And then I want you to think about how much effort you want to put in to get bigger results. Now, I want to clarify something. One of the things is, someone's going to go, well, in the high value assets, I have to put a whole much more effort in here. Well, do you? Think about it for a second. I'm going to suggest, when you do these kind of ones where it's a relationship, your expertise and network, that's part of doing business anyway. There's nothing special there. There's nothing different from what you're already doing. That's the traditional business that you're already involved in. So there's no additional effort. It just happens that, remember when I said there was three different ways to build your business? What was number one? Clients. For number B, in this particular case, they're finding additional clients. In number A, what they're doing is they're increasing the average sale, and they're increasing the frequency. Okay? So both win. Both parties win in that situation. And that's what you have to look for. So go back to your list, update your list, put it, whether it's a physical or non-physical intellectual property, update your list of assets on a piece of paper. And then the other thing to do is start thinking about, we'll get into this in the next section, what is the purpose of any kind of joint venture that you'd probably want to get involved in? And you can see I've talked about it a little bit, because it sort of let the cat out of the bag. What are the purposes of a joint venture, and why would they work for someone? Why are they so valuable? So let's take a look at that in a second. We'll be right back. This is James Maduke speaking. You're watching the broadcast on joint ventures. And again, if you have any questions, it's james@jamesmaduke.com. I'd love to help you out.